Welcome to another episode of Extra Features Movie Review Podcast. I'm Kevin.
And I'm Simon, and I got trivia cards.
And Daniel.
And I'm Doug, and I have a bunch of Blu-rays that I purchased during quarantine.
Nice. And this is episode 247.
It is. Now, I like to start this stuff off since we're all home for the most part. I'm probably the only one that really goes out the most because I have to work. I just want to know what you guys watch, because, I mean, I've been watching Swamp Thing, and I'm really not enjoying it in any way.
You're not enjoying it?
No, at first episode I fell asleep during. I went back. Second episode was today. I fell asleep during it. So I'm going to finish it, but it's better to get better.
Well, I had a different experience. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
You seem to enjoy all this stuff, Kevin. You even like Jessica Jones.
My only complaint was I didn't like the use of Blue Beetle. Not Blue Beetle, Blue Devil.
I get Blue Devil in this? Yeah. I love Blue Devil. I'm going to look forward to that.
And the Phantom Stranger is not what I would expect him to look like.
Okay, I'll look forward to it.
I have not watched that. Smash. I'm actually caught up on Harley Quinn. So there's that. And
this week's?
Yeah.
Oh, you're ahead of me. I'm two behind.
And then I started watching the Purge TV show. First episode was kind of boring. It just sets up all four and there's no gore so far. And all it is, when there is gore, it's in night vision. So it looks really bad.
You're like Swamp Thing. All takes place at night. I just fall asleep.
Fair. I didn't fall asleep, but I could have.
I'm just going through my, I don't know, fifth, sixth rewatch of Community now that it's on Netflix.
Nice.
And I love that show.
Me too.
Well, I've been catching up on Harley Quinn, Rick and Morty, watching reruns of Fringe. I bought the whole season for $20, whole series for $20. So I've been working my way. What's that?
Digital?
Yeah. And then I started watching something called Briar Patch, which has been pretty good so far, with Rosaria Dawson, and a couple episodes of Pennyworth and Magic for Humans on Netflix, season 3.
I heard that's really good, Magic for Humans.
I love it. It's a lot of fun.
Well, that's good.
Now, why is it Magic for Humans? Who else would it be for?
Exactly, that's the point. it's just kind of a funny show.
Oh, is there like a Magic for Dogs kind of thing? Or
No, okay. It's just he's doing magic tricks, so he calls it Magic Tricks for Humans. And every so often, he'll meet someone on the street and they'll say, "What's your name?" And she'll say, "I'm Susan." He'll go, "Magic for Susan." And then he'll do a segment every show of Magic for Susan or anyway. Close-up magic, things like that. He has little things every show.
Okay.
But it's fun. Just fun.
Want the magic for Karen and then make the manager disappear, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we made the Karen disappear in the show. She was long gone.
Oh.
magic for Karen is calling the police on somebody, I guess, right? So.
Yeah, pretty much. In the park. Yeah. I did change my garage door color today. I sanded it yesterday, changed it today. I'm sure that's vastly exciting.
Colors it now.
We're all informed at the same time. So I did want to drive to the Valley and look at their garage doors, but I decided not to.
Valley Girl remake 2020, starring Jessica Roth, Josh Whitehouse, Jesse Ennis, Ashley Murray, Chloe Bennett, Logan Paul, Mae Whitman, Judy Greer, and cameos by Elizabeth Daly and Deborah Foreman.
Deborah Foreman has a cameo in the remake?
She was the girl in... She was the cashier in the dress shop.
Oh, during the dance number. Yeah.
No, near the end when she was buying the prom dress.
Yeah, who cares? Yeah. Who wants to start?
I'll start.
Great.
Okay.
I think this has almost nothing to do with the original Valley Girl, the Nicolas Cage one. We were going to try to do a link, but there really is no connection other than the name. And it's about a girl from the Valley. So this one is it's a musical. And I'm trying to think of a musical it might compare itself to.
Rock of Ages, maybe?
Maybe, something along those lines. It's just basically Girl from the Valley meets a guy from Hollywood. And in the 80s, it's Alicia Silverstone recounting how she met some guy. And I don't know, it's just they sing a lot of 80s songs. They just break into song every so often and move from scene to scene. And for as far as the film goes, it's pretty blah, pretty boring, but the songs still hang out. I mean, I enjoyed the music. So for that, on that ground, I didn't think it was unwatchable.
Oh, I didn't think it was unwatchable.
But I thought it was pretty generic and, you know, probably something that a 14 or 15-year-old girl might appreciate. I'm Bob. This is a Bob movie, for sure.
I thought it was just predictable. I mean, I did watch the original Valley Girl in pretense I might need to know something. Nope, obviously not. I just found it very repetitious. As soon as they started singing, I'm like, really? There's no story here other than singing. I didn't mind the dance number at the roller rink. I thought that was okay. But I just didn't need this over and over. I'm like, there's nothing here. And Logan, no, I found they just all looked bored. Chloe Bennett, I don't know what she was doing. I mean, she can't sing. The singing was killing me. They're all flat. And even the auto-tune wasn't helping with them. And you could tell they were doing it off camera, right? So they've obviously sang to film it, then they redid it afterwards in studio. And I found that a big problem for me. And I'm like, okay, this is uninteresting garbage. This is just like watching that show where they have lip sync battle. That's pretty much what I watched was lip sync battle for an hour and a half. No, not for me.
It reminded me of Glee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Without a story.
Yeah.
I get that. I've never seen the original Valley Girl. It was interesting seeing Jessica Roth not die repeatedly. But aside from that, there was really not much in this movie for me. I love Judy Greer, but didn't get too much of her. And yeah, it wasn't really a movie for me. I'm not big into 80s music. So that wasn't really a big draw for me. And I don't know. I'm sure there are people who will love this and like it. I'm just not one of those people.
Haven't found one yet. Still looking.
I'll be the devil's advocate. I have the same taste as Bob. This is a Bob movie. Therefore, it's a Daniel movie. I liked it enough. But maybe that's because the other two romantic comedies on this list, I felt dead inside. So maybe just I'm watching this one after those one, it's like, okay, this is actually kind of fun. It's not a great movie. I like the music. Honestly, I thought the singing was passable with the auto tune. I thought Josie from Riverdale did okay. Nice to see Jessica Roth not doing horror and that she's charming enough to do something else. Like Josh Whitehouse better here than that Netflix Christmas movie, The Night Before Christmas. You know, I wouldn't watch it again, but I had some fun with it. Take on Me was pretty good. I don't know. I like the music. I didn't see the original, so maybe if I saw the original, I wouldn't like it. But
no, it's got nothing to do with each other. You're good.
I don't know. It's cliches, and some parts killed me, like Logan Paul, like when he's like, "Hey, those tots look lonely. I know the feeling." Like some of the dialogue was really bad, and Chloe Bennett, like the mean girl, was bad, but. I don't know. There was enough here that I thought was okay enough.
I really thought they were trying to get a Clueless vibe from this. I really felt they were trying to do Clueless.
Yeah, for a new generation, but no. Yeah, I imagine touching Clueless, no.
The presence of Alicia Silverstone might have triggered that for you.
Well, I think that was it. I think they were doing the flashback. I'm like, oh, we're doing a Clueless thing here?
Yeah, no.
And I don't know. I think Chloe Bendis needs some work. I mean, Logan Paul... This was supposed to come out in theaters too.
Then it got stopped because of his controversy. This is filmed back in 2017.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. It was coming out like a month later than that.
Maybe Whitman was pretty good. Sorry, Kevin.
So I mean, Chloe Bennett really, she's only done Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
And Abominable, she played the main voice for that one.
Yeah, like Dodd could be the main voice of Obama. It was so bad, nobody will remember.
So I thought she might have been a little bit old to be a high school, but I don't know. I didn't think she didn't do it. Like, I didn't think she was terrible.
And I think that yoga scene when she's doing jazzercise or whatever they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, was rough.
Material Girl.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't think she was bad. I thought the character was bad.
She had nothing to do. Nobody had anything to do. I would like a plot.
But singing is a plot, right, Simon?
No, it's but not.
As far as Jukebox musicals go, I think this is way better than Rock of Ages, because that felt lifeless, and I don't know, this just felt like peppy enough for me to enjoy a little bit.
Oh, because you could toe tap? Maybe have an ice cream? A little beanie spin around?
That's very 80s. I don't know. Okay. I don't know what to say that one.
40s.
40s. A little ice cream beanie. Toe tapping.
Herbie.
Then call Bob to see if he likes it, you know?
Well, I guess so. Now, I guess the next question is, did you have rhythm while you were watching this?
That was going to be my transition too. I thought the same. The rhythm section, starring Blake Lively, Jude Law, Sterling K. Brown, and Richard Brake.
Who is Richard Brake?
He played the one where she's going to shoot him in the head, and then he dies because he runs out of oxygen, and that's how she survives that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, first thing is, I'm done with Blake Lively. Done. No more. Done. Don't need to see her. She can go away. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. Become a supporting character actress, and I'll be fine. I'm sick of her trying to be a lead. I mean, Anna Kendrick did circles around her in that film. I can't remember from
Simple Favor.
So good. Showed her how to act, and she learned nothing going to rhythm section. Jude Law is wasted in this. And I want an assassin that does their job occasionally. Half-assedness of this drives me nuts. Because she's the size of a toothpick. So unless she can do it correctly, she's getting dropped 50 times over. This film had no rhythm. I just thought it was kind of boring. You know, I don't know what it was trying to be, but it was not something I was interested in. I knew that.
Yeah.
It felt very much like a budget-restricted Atomic Blonde.
But it was $50 million, somehow. But it looks like it's four.
Like, Lively's hair was five.
It's based on a novel, and that there are actually further adventures of Stephanie in further novels. So had this been a hit, this could have been a franchise for Blake.
Oh, really?
And the author wrote it as well, the screenplay.
Well, there's a mistake.
Mm.
Has anybody read the book?
No.
Did anybody like this film?
No.
No.
I didn't know anything about this going in. I didn't even watch the trailer. I was like, Blake Lively? Sure. Maybe a revenge movie. But I was surprised by the spy plot that she becomes an assassin. I was confused at times. And I didn't like the fact that there was really no point of reference for her before her parents died, her family died in the plane crash, other than like little smiling pictures. But just the fact that she becomes a prostitute hooked on drugs just seemed like an extreme I couldn't buy.
Well, that recovery period's amazing. It's what, 30 seconds in the film, maybe 2 minutes?
And then she finds karate.
It's a purpose and she's magically okay.
Yeah, the Karate Kid montage with Jude Law. Like, oh, you're good again.
You're good. Off you go.
Yeah.
Show you how to shoot a gun, how to swim.
Yeah, there's a line here where he says something about her being a cliche, like that's not tragedy, that's a cliche, and that's, I think that defines the movie. That's just all a cliche. I hated it. But I don't remember why I hated it, or specifically because I watched this in February.
Terrible pacing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'd say miscast as her as the lead.
I thought she was fine, but the character was just bad.
She couldn't act. Like, she's not doing what we want her to do. Maybe it's a little more written in the book, a little more fleshed out, but I just did thought it was sloppy.
Yeah. Did anyone else find it confusing?
Yes.
Yeah, I had a hard time following it at times.
It's just standard spy double crosses and stuff. I guess I've watched a lot of spy films. I've read a lot of spy novels. I didn't find it that hard to follow. I just, like everybody, I just found it kind of boring, and the action scenes just weren't very inspired to me.
Sure. I agree with you, Doug. I'm not recommending this to anybody.
Yeah, I'm with Doug on this one. I think it's not, I don't think it's terrible. I just don't think it's very good. I think it's very mediocre. Mm-hmm. And it's dull. It's got a lot of long sequences that are dull, where not much is going on, not even exposition. So I think from a watching standpoint, I wasn't so bored that I couldn't follow the plot. But I walked away with it thinking, why do I care about this movie? Why do I care about her struggle? Why do I care about any of this? And ultimately, I don't. So I would say, don't watch it if you're not interested. Like, it's not worth it.
Just don't watch it. There's been a better options out there.
Mm-hmm.
Rewatch Swamp Thing. Kevin loves it. I'm trying to stay away.
Swamp Thing is really good. It's very Alan Moore.
Yeah. I never read Alan Moore Swamp Thing, so I guess I'm a bad
guy. What?
I've never read it.
You're kidding me.
No!
Kidding me. You never read... Oh, my God. Okay.
Nope. Well, maybe he can hang out Swamp Thing with Robert the Bruce and make this more exciting for me.
You mean your movie? You're the star of this movie, aren't you?
I kind of look like the guy. But he's heavier.
He does. Angus McFadden is your double.
I had never had a full beard like Doug, so I'll never know.
I didn't know how to pronounce that one. Angus McFadden.
I do right now.
Oh, sorry. True. It's starring Angus McFadden, Anna Hutchison, Zach Begon, brother and sister Gabriel Bateman and Talitha Bateman, Patrick Fugit, and Jared Harris.
Kevin, this is probably your field.
All right, so I'll start on this one. So this is the sequel to Braveheart, in a sense, right? So it's the same actor playing the same historical figure 20 or so years after the events of Braveheart, where William Wallace led a revolt against the English and lost. So inspired by Wallace, Robert the Bruce, who is sort of he's the... I don't know if he's self-proclaimed, but he's the king of Scotland in a sense, right? So he wants to lead Scotland towards independence from England. And I mean, what we get is a movie that I think the plot was stolen from a couple of episodes of The Incredible Hulk or Battlestar Galactica or a 70s television show, where basically the hero ends up stuck on the farm of some normal people who nurse him back to health. And he has to learn about them. And they have to tell him stories about why they're inspired by him and how important he is. There's no, like, basically over the winter, he's being chased by people who want to end the revolt. And so he shacks up with his family. And then that's basically the plot. And then the guys come in the spring to kill him and they fail. And then he leads the family to his supporters and they go on to lead Scotland to independence. I thought the acting was uninspired. I thought the locations were fantastic. I mean, Scotland is always majestic. If you get a couple of drones and fly around over the mountains, it'll look great. But the movie itself was dull. And pretty pedestrian, and the good reason why it just sort of got sort of dumped out onto digital at this time.
I read that Scotland doubled as Montana, or Montana doubled as Scotland.
For this?
Yeah. They filmed it in Montana. I'll just go quickly because I didn't watch this. I got 5 minutes in and I was like, you know what? I'm going to not like this. I'm going to tap out.
Mm-hmm.
What?
You don't need to talk. Bye-bye.
I was just saying. I know we were fucking with me, but no, I'm just saying. I just said it's not my type of movie, so, you know.
Sorry, Doug?
This movie had two things against it. One, that it was a direct sequel to Braveheart, and Braveheart was just grander in every sense of the word.
Mm-hmm.
second thing was 2017's The Outlaw King, the Netflix movie with Chris Pine being about the same historical figure, Robert the Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
This movie paled in comparison to both of them. I don't see a reason for this film.
Oh, I have to agree. I'm watching it, and I'm like, so we have a battle at the beginning. He gets injured. He goes to visit this farmhouse, and he spends the whole movie there.
Mm-hmm.
And then they show up at the end, and the little kids stop the guys attacking them. They have a little bit of battle there. And then the only interesting thing I wanted to read about was on the wiki.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, you just made me watch an hour, 45 minutes of a guy sleeping. And kept telling the little kids, shoot your arrows some more. Oh, no, we're running out of food. And then magically the guys come attack him. I'm like, oh, well, that's the end of the film.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, this is my family. I'm like, yeah, because they saved your ass. And now, did this really happen, or is this a made-up story?
I know. I didn't look into it. I was so uninspired by it, I didn't bother looking it up.
It's literally like Doug said. You watch Braveheart, which is, let's say it has $50 million budget probably back then.
Mm-hmm.
And you give these guys $500,000 in a farm in Montana and say, okay, make Braveheart 2.
But it wasn't Braveheart 2. It was something else.
Yeah, crap.
Right.
It was absolutely unwatchable.
Maybe if we were Scottish, we might think this is an important historical... Because Robert the Bruce did go on to defeat the English and free Scotland.
Yeah, we saw that. It's called Outlaw King. As Doug's pointed out, a much better film.
Right. But I don't know, maybe Angus McFadden always wanted to do this, and he's the producer of the film, so I don't know.
He co-wrote it as well.
Yeah.
Did he fall asleep during the script writing and go, oh crap, I got a film tomorrow?
He just wrote himself sleeping.
I'm just going to have a big nap here.
Yeah.
I mean, what was he doing during this film? Running the catering table? Is that why he couldn't be in the film half of it?
Maybe he really needed the paycheck.
Oh, no, he produced it, so he didn't need the paycheck. So he must have already pre-sold it somewhere is what I'm thinking. Probably got a bunch of grants from Scotland.
Probably.
To do this. That's the only way.
Scotland Historical Society or something.
Hey, Daniel.
Yeah.
Can you keep a secret?
I can try.
The intern went for donuts.
Though I take it I didn't miss much from Robert the Bruce, but okay, yeah. Can You Keep a Secret, starring Alexandra Daddario, Tyler Hoechlin, Kimiko Glenn, Sunita Mani, Laverne Cox, David Ebert, and Judah Friedlander for a very weird cameo.
I can't remember where that was.
He was the reporter that was like, hey, you went to Chicago once.
Oh,
I wanted to get you on record.
Yes. I remember now. Doug, you want to start?
Sure, I guess. I guess I can start with asking a question. Was this supposed to be a comedy?
I have no idea.
I wasn't sure if it was romantic drama or comedy, because I wasn't really sucked into either dramatic purposes or comedy with it. Full disclosure, this is the second Alexandria Daddario movie I watched this week. I also watched San Andreas for the first time.
She's in San Andreas?
Yeah, she's the daughter.
Mindless destruction, and that worked for me. But I'll be honest, I don't think she's that good of an actress.
Good. I'm not even sure she knows taking an acting class.
She's a very attractive individual. I don't buy her as either The Rock's daughter in San Andreas or the romantic lead here in Can You Keep a Secret? Her age just, I'm not sure what her age is supposed to be. Is she supposed to be in her 20s, 30s? I don't know. I just, again, this movie wasn't for me. Her love story with Jack just didn't work for me.
I don't think it's for anybody. I think I laughed twice when the
what?
The yeah, well, You know, it was during the elevator scene when the ex-boyfriend gets on the thing. And I only laughed because the guy was so uncomfortable. And I was like, that's me. That's me watching this movie. I am so uncomfortable. And then at the end when he's on the plane and he's telling her his secrets and he's like, oh, I asked the girl for the bra. And the big guy in sitting down is like, nice. I don't know why, but I thought that was like just the simplicity of it was very funny. But no, overall, I hated the movie. My big problem with the romantic comedies is when I don't buy the conflict and him spilling all her secrets on live TV because he gets carried away because he's in love with her is really, really, really stupid. And I was never on with this movie. And I blame your love for Alexandra Daddario, Kevin.
Yeah.
But she's great. I like her too. Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah, you can blame me for this one being on the list.
Oh, we are.
I actually asked Simon's frozen, I think. Oh, is he back? You were frozen there for a minute.
Oh, sorry.
You look very satisfied as you were drinking something. So yeah, this movie, I mean, I think it's a romantic drama with a comedic hook.
Yeah.
You know, the meet cute, as you always have in a romantic comedy, was that they shared a plane ride together and she spilled her secrets to him. And then turns out that he's her boss. And, I mean, she's not a great actress and this is not a very good film in any stretch. And, but I didn't find it as horrible or offensive. I found it just to be another, like a lot of the films this week, a lot of mediocrity, a lot of uninspired dialogue and by the numbers acting. And Tyler Hoechlin, you know, he's like TV Superman. That's it right now. He's the Superman on Supergirl, and he's getting a Superman and Lois Lane show that starts next January. He's okay, but he's just not. He's like a Boy Scout, so he's good casting for Superman, but bad casting for a romantic comedy.
So let's delve a little more deeper. Can we keep a secret? I think they really try comedy hard at the workforce with Lorraine Cox.
Mm-hmm.
She tries. I think she's a solid actress. I have never have an issue with her, but she's got nothing to work with. I felt bad for her. That boyfriend getting to Dario, not his little best day would that ever happen. I'm looking at this guy going, really? This is the best she could do? She lives in Chicago. Come on. And the whole gimmick is that the plane's about to go down and she thinks the plane's going to crash is why she spills everything.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do think they tried comedy. I want to go back to her roommate. They did try a lot of comedy with the roommate. I thought the roommate got the movie.
Yeah.
So-so from Orange is the New Black is just as bad as she was on that show here.
Mm-hmm.
She keeps trying. And then I don't understand why she brought the reporter to him to get him. She didn't ask her to do that.
It was so bad.
At the end of the film, I'm kind of like, and he's like, what? And I'm like, what? Where's this going? And then, of course, they have the magical hookup at the end and the life is good. I'm kind of like, and I wish they would explain why the lawyer was in that acting class. I really need a bit more of that. Like, why is this happening?
I think it's for the gimmick that, like, oh no, you walked in on me having sex, but no, I'm just doing a very embarrassing dance.
Well, I don't know. Like,
that's comedy.
Nothing was explained in this. I'm kind of like, okay. And then did Dario trying to seduce him at work? And that was just bad.
I think almost the most unbelievable thing in this is that they pitched Daddario as average girl on the street. And then
she is average, you know, because that's how average girls look to me.
Yeah, not with those eyes and that other pair, you know. But just the fact that they pitch her as average and then she's looking for a flaw in his perfection and he has web feet. They did that and she's out of my league in 2010 with Jay Baruchel.
Yep. They did.
The exact same thing.
Now, I have a question. Didn't Daddario do a film with Banks, Elizabeth Banks, that we reviewed, Kevin?
Walk of Shame?
Yeah. No, not Walk of Shame. I can't remember. She was fighting over some guy, and the chick was a blonde.
Oh, yeah, the layover.
Yeah.
That was with Kate something.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Kate Upton, maybe?
Yeah.
She has not gotten any better. I'd say she's going down on the acting scale, getting worse.
I thought she was okay in Baywatch.
But Baywatch, I would say, was a solid script, and all she had to do was look pretty and say lines and flirt with Zac Efron.
She's. I thought she was passable in Percy Jackson when she was. But yeah, that's the age thing. It's like, how old are you? You're playing. You're 18, and that was. Well, the first one was 10 years ago. Second one was 7 years ago.
I would say she's mid to late 20s in the movie that we just.
She wasn't awful in the TV in the first season of True Detective.
I've never seen
her. Yeah.
She was actually.
It's good.
I'd say decent in that, but so, that was McConaughey, Harrelson's show.
Again, she should go to supporting actor then. I mean, she's not bad in Percy Jackson, you guys are telling me. She's not bad in True Detective. So again, that tells me she shouldn't be a lead actress. That's why she's taking these crappy movies, hoping that this will be her breakout hit.
And she was in that great movie with Henry Cavill.
Yes.
Right? The one we reviewed a few months ago.
That serial killer movie.
I think it's called Namus, but I can't remember the other name for it.
We did a review called movie called Namus.
Night Hunter. I think that's what the Night Hunter called.
Did I watch it?
It's also known as Namus.
And it was all shot here in around Toronto.
Okay. I'm done. I can't watch any more of this crap. You're trying to kill me, Kevin.
Though I do like San Andreas. I will say that. That's a fun movie.
Is it time for our theme song?
Ooh, the Netflix theme song?
If you're busy like me, going to the video store is a hassle. With Netflix, just make a list of the movies you want to see. And in about one business day, you'll get three delivered to your house.
There you go. See, I entered it.
That's not how it works anymore.
I didn't realize
I could find.
They still have DVD for America. You could rent Blu-rays. Yes,
they do. Doug,
I did not realize Netflix that.
DVD account?
I just stream with them. I don't rent discs.
Do you have a Redbox you go to?
Yes. Yes. Do have Redbox. A few in my area. So.
What's a few? Like four?
Two at ShopRite. Two at 7-Eleven.
Wait, two boxes at the same place?
Two boxes, yes.
Mm-hmm. How come we have zero here? This sucks. Redbox zero for like, what, 3 months and left?
Yeah, I had one at my Food Basics by my movie theater, but I think they moved it. Or I don't know if there's any in Canada anymore.
They came and went. Literally, I never saw one here, Doug.
Wow.
I wanted to try it. I'm like, okay, I want to try out. See how this works. Everybody tells me it's amazing.
Yeah, they do pretty well here.
I had like three near me. I rented them all the time in like 2012, 2013.
See, there you go.
Yeah. Anyway, Love Wedding Repeat. Got us off track there. Starring Sam Claflin, Olivia Munn, Frida Pinto, Eleanor Tomlinson, Joel Fry, Jack Farthing, Tim Key, and Eileen B.
Can I start?
Yeah.
I'm really happy Frida Pinto had nothing to do. Perfect. Because I can't stand Frida Pinto. I think she's a miserable actress. She always looks like she has a stupid smirk on her face because why am I here? Am I getting a paycheck? Love, Wedding, Repeat. Let me help you. Please don't ever make me watch this again. This was painful. I was waiting for comedy. I'm like, I love repeating movies. I like when they do the same thing over. And they only do it like twice over a seating chart? That was it? So different things happened? And there's no way this bride is boinking her old boyfriend. Ain't gonna happen. Sorry, couldn't buy that to save my life. I did try. I tried everything to like this film, Kevin. It had everything I like. It had a wedding. It had hijinks that were terrible, but I'm like, let it go. It's gonna get better. It never got better. It never improved. The guy wearing the kilt joke never worked. Frida Pinto's boyfriend, his big dick, did not work. Did anything work in this movie for anybody?
The kilt bit, with the nuts, when he was like, oh, it's slingshot it around, that got a little chuckle for me, a little bit. And I found that... Yeah, a little bit of ho-ho-ho. I don't know. I thought, you know, after they reset the thing, I thought it was a bit more tolerable, but this first half was, it's just comedy based on uncomfortable situations that British people were too polite to be like, oh, can you fuck off? I'm trying to kiss this girl right now. And it just didn't work. And then we don't even get a wedding by the end of it. We don't even see the wedding, like the kiss.
No, who cares?
And I did. I realized after, but
it's all about them hooking, him trying to hook up with Olivia Munn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I felt this was lazy though, because it's we don't even get the alternate day until 40 minutes left, and it's like, okay, we don't have enough for a feature film. Let's just throw this in there. And then they do a montage of other possibilities, and yeah, it wasn't as painful as Can You Keep a Secret, but I didn't like it.
Pretty close.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll be flat out honest. Romantic comedy is probably my least favorite film genre because I never find, or I can't say never, there are a handful, but romantic comedies for me tend to rely too heavily on the romance and forget completely about the comedy, or the comedy they go for is very basic and just cheap laughs. I think the last romantic comedy I really liked was The Big Sick, and that was from a few years ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, romantic comedies generally don't work for me. The idea here of alternate timelines, again, I say I've just been rewatching Community again for the 5th, 6th time, and they did a fantastic episode of alternate timelines, and here it just fell flat. If you want to see real comedy work with alternate timelines, check out the season 3 episode of Community. I forget the actual name of it, but it does introductory to alternate timelines or something like that. That is brilliant and it works. Here, it does not, at least for me.
Should I let you in on a secret, Doug? Can you keep a secret? I've never seen Community either.
Yeah,
show.
I thought the same thing, Doug.
Kevin?
Garbage. I think this movie showed up at the top of my Netflix for a couple of weeks, and I kept thinking, well, I guess I'll watch it. How bad could it possibly be? It could be pretty bad. And it was one of those movies I'm watching. I'm like, this is terrible. This is like the worst wedding ever. This is like the most embarrassing stuff is going on. It's just not, but it's not funny. It's painful to watch. And then, they said, oh, but then, you know, imagine what would happen if another person got the drink. And then we're like, oh, okay, all right. And we got to go through this. And that guy, the friend, the guy from yesterday, he's not funny. Okay. Whatever that actor's name is.
Nope.
Joel Fry.
He is not funny. Joel Fry. I think I'm looking at IMDb, but he's just not funny. And, you know, like, I don't care about any of these people. Like, I don't care if Ajax from Deadpool wants to get laid with Olivia Munn and Psylocke. You know, like, and, you know, any movie, obviously, with Olivia Munn in it means that they're really scraping the bottom of the barrel. And they just, they needed someone who looked good because Olivia Munn can't act.
Nope.
And she's just there basically as the token American who shows up to, so there's some connection to America, I guess. I don't know, like, just not, like, a waste of time.
I think
she needs the Olivia Munn Daddario Upton crossover.
I'd watch it, but.
Oh, no, Kevin will be his first
pick. I'd watch it, but that to the sound off. Who is the narrator?
Penny something. It sounds like Judi Dench, but it's not.
Yeah. I thought it was Judi Dench. I did too.
I was like, wait, it's this woman named Penny something. I forget the last name. But yeah, I think you said Deadpool. It's Ed Skrein is the villain in that one, right?
Yeah.
Sam Claflin is a rich man's Ed Skrein.
I got a question. Doug,
I thought it was Ed Skrein for sure.
Did you watch this with any member of your family? I always want to know your kids' opinion. Maybe these films are just shooting over my head and they're good for 15-year-old boys.
I did our next with my son.
So could I put in something before we go to Justice League?
I do have a question for Doug, but go ahead.
Oh, okay. Sorry. You could go, Simon.
I just want Doug to promote a certain video he appears on YouTube in, before I forget.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, yeah. My son had a project to do. They read a Catcher in the Rye this year, and instead of writing an essay, he got permission to make a trailer for a Catcher in the Rye film.
Oh, nice.
Which is available on YouTube. And I was very proud of it. I think he did a great job. It came across like a Wes Anderson take on Catcher in the Rye to me.
Well, I wanted to see the rest of the film. I actually went, okay, I'm kind of into this. Let's see where this goes.
Unfortunately, that was filmed.
I'll link it on the YouTube video for this when you put it up. But okay, can we do a thumbnail for the YouTube with all of us doing? Okay, that's the thumbnail. But for this film, the only time I was vaguely interested in the first half is when it went into the alternate timeline when she pushed the guy off the railing, room,
and then
I was like,
"Go anymore there."
I was like, is this going to be a murder mystery? How high is this? Is he going to die? And then it was like, you know what? Fuck you. We're going to see if someone else took the sleeping pill. Like,
no. It's a little rough.
That's cool. That,
like, characters in this movie are just awful.
Yeah. Okay. I guess we're off to a dark side of the moon.
Or a dark apocalypse. Justice League Dark Apocalypse War, starring Matt Ryan, Jerry O'Connell, Jason O'Mara, Rosario Dawson, Tony Todd, Tessa Farmiga, Liam McIntyre, and John DiMaggio as King Shark is a shark.
Well, who wants to start this one?
You are, because I'm going to trash it. So
me?
I'll go ahead and talk.
All right, so this movie effectively wraps up all of the DC animated main films that weren't based on comic series.
Really?
That have come out for the last 10 years, basically.
Huh.
So around 2011, 2012, DC did that New 52. So they decided to launch a new animated series of movies and television shows that all interlinked with this universe. And so Young Justice is all part of this. So a lot of the characters and the actors are the same. So essentially, we've been leading up to a big fight with Apocalypse, and the Justice League go off to fight him, and then they lose badly. And Constantine goes back to Earth, and I guess Darkseid has conquered the Earth, and there are not very many heroes and villains left over, and most of the Justice League is under the control of Darkseid. And so John Constantine is now the hero that has to assemble everybody with Superman's help to save the universe. And that's about it. They take the fight to Apocalypse. They team up with the supervillains. We learn that Constantine and Killer Shark had a bit of a romantic dalliance at one point. So that was a surprise. Harley Quinn is in it. And the Suicide Squad, because, you know, you got to have them in everything. So I don't know. I mean, as far as the animated stuff goes, it was okay as far as the animation goes. But the story, I didn't care. And I'm kind of glad we've reached the end of this itineration. And basically, you know, the film, I'm spoiling the film, but the film basically ends with the survivors sitting on the beach of Titan's Tower going, good Lord, I can't believe we just survived this. The Trigon Darkseid fight, the Superman Darkseid fight, whatever his name is, Cyborg has blown up Apocalypse as well. There are very few heroes left. And Constantine just walks over to the Flash and says, well, you know what you got to do, buddy? You got to go back in time and start it all over again. And he says, oh, man, okay. And that's it. He runs off and the whole thing fades away. So it was basically 10 years of wasted time watching these movies that essentially mean nothing, and there's going to be a new DC animated universe coming up next year. Or even starting, I think it starts with a Superman film in July. So.
Another Superman film.
Yeah. A new version of Superman based on Bendis's version from the new comics.
I didn't care. I watched this. I just didn't care anymore. I don't find this interesting. I just like, I've seen this. I've read this. I've been here. I don't care. I found it very sleepy. I didn't like the animation. I didn't like the voice acting. I kind of wish Doug and his kids took action figures and did it for 35 minutes. I would have enjoyed it more, I think. I just think this whole DC anime, I'm done with them. I've stopped reviewing them on Twitter. I stopped talking about them. I just don't have any interest in this universe anymore. I need something different, and this is not it. I find this is just a general DC put out an animated again. I'm just like, I am bored.
I had fun with it. I actually kind of enjoyed it. I enjoyed the over the top gore and action in it. I don't know why, but I did. That stuff worked for me. I also had fun because I watched it with my son, and we were joking about how Zatanna made Constantine run away at the beginning, and how she used her magic spell Nurr, which is run backwards.
Yes,
but, like, she was in pain, and so throughout the whole movie, my son and I were just looking at each other, going Nurr. And we had fun with it. It's not going to win any awards. It's not the greatest thing, but it was a fun distraction for an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm. Missed the nerve part. You know, these movies don't do anything for me, but I'm a thug. I had more fun with this one than I have with any of the other ones of this universe. I watched Justice League Dark before it, just so I could familiarize myself with the characters. I like this one better than that one. I think it was just because it was like a big team up. Was surprised by the gore, like Wonder Woman getting her arm cut off. And then it was pretty sweet. I like the like Frankenstein kind of furies, like just reassembled like parts like that. I like the action. I find Constantine kind of boring as a character in these ones.
I find him boring.
Yeah, but yeah, I liked him in the live action one, I think. So, I mean, I feel like I like the comics, but yeah, a little bit better than what these usually do for me, but still nothing I'd watch again. And yeah, I gotta agree, the Flashpoint bit felt like such a cop-out that kind of peeved me off. And at the beginning, I had problems with it because I wish they would have how it, like, the big parademons are about to attack them, and then it's like 2 years later. And I would have liked to have seen that in the present instead of Superman being like, oh, here's an information dump. I know it's for pacing and because it would cost a lot to animate that fully, but I still would have liked that more.
DC has the cash.
Hera Doom is probably the worst name I've heard in a DC movie.
Parademons?
Parademons.
That's what they're. Oh, okay.
And they were the combination of Doomsday.
Doomsday, yeah.
So, yeah. I really like Captain Boomerang in this, and I thought he was funny. And I thought
it's good too. I thought
it was interesting just watching Harley Quinn and then seeing just the different interpretations of the character and how the King Shark is a shark. He's basically Groot, the same bit he does. But
yeah.
I liked how he was designed, even though I love Ron Funches on the show.
Oh, we know you love Ron Funches.
I saw him live in Montreal that one year.
Yeah, that year you showed up.
I've showed up, what, twice? Every 3 years.
Oh, you're right, twice. I lied twice. Yeah,
was going to show up this year to keep the train going, but now that can't happen.
You canceled my hotel room. That's where it goes. Are we hitting the vault?
Yeah. Do it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Nobody has the movie.
Why not?
Video Blockbuster probably has it. I mean, we have over 10,000 videos. Wow.
I'll watch these fast.
Maybe I can get Doug to go to Redbox.
Relax. At Blockbuster, you can keep your videos for 3 evenings, so take home plenty. And use our 24-hour quick drop.
Videos. That's enough of that. There we go. We're in the vault. And Kevin now sent us a couple of interesting choices. Which one do you guys want to start with? I guess we're going to what happens when Doug has to go to Redbox? After hours?
Yeah. Gerard Martin, Scorsese, starring Griffin Dunne, Rosanna Arquette, Verna Bloom, Linda Fiorentino, Cheech and Chong, Terry Garr, Catherine O'Hara, and John Hurd.
Great cast. Solid cast. Mm-hmm. I'll start at the beginning. I got to say, the first half of this movie, I was undecided whether I liked it or didn't like it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wasn't hating it. I wasn't loving it. But when the second half, I started figuring out what was going on with the plot, I started liking it. Especially when they think he's the robber. I was on board. Mm-hmm. Okay, I finally get where we're going. Mm-hmm. I have a little bit of problem with the ending. I kind of wanted the ending I wanted. I would have loved it, but I'll take the ending they gave me.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's nice to see Terry Garr. It was nice to see Catherine O'Hara. Does she ever age?
I know.
Like, she looks, it's just older version now of her. I mean, I do like this film. And I think Scorsese does it because it's so well directed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the plot isn't the greatest thing, but it's so well directed. And the way they bring back that hamburger gag, like an hour later into the film or 45 minutes ago, I'm like, bam, you guys got me there. I didn't see that. I like the nightclub scenes. And I like how they use the same nightclub at the beginning and end, if you obviously know where you are. And this film just works for me on so many levels at times. And I think upon rewatch, I would enjoy it more, even though I don't really watch films a lot, because now I understand where they were going with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was my biggest problem. I didn't quite understand the end of how we were going to get there.
Right.
But I did like the characters. I thought the scenes worked. And I really liked the way he shoots dialogue. I think Scorsese keeps showing why he's a master filmmaker. The film that may not be the greatest thing he's ever done, but he shoots it so well all the time. Seems to know exactly where to place the camera. Seems to know the lighting. Even the running down the street scenes, the ice cream truck, I thought were brilliantly shot.
When he does the key that falls, that was really cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the cabbie takes off on him. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I can go next. I like this film for its unpredictability because I got to tell you, I could never figure out where it was going. And I think the point of it kind of went over my head other than him. He just wants to get home. Oh, did you guys catch that? My internet's unstable.
It's all good. Keep going. Mine was there.
Oh, sorry. Okay. I lost my train of thought because of that. But yeah, I liked it for its unpredictability. And yeah, direction was great. Cast was great. I love seeing Catherine O'Hara. I love seeing Terry Garr, John Hurd, Cheech and Chong. That whole thing with the, thinking he's the burglar and then her putting the posters up. Like I didn't laugh a lot, but I was never bored for a second. My mom watched the first half an hour of this and she was like, you know what? I can't, I don't know what's happening. This is so random to me. And she just went to bed, which is fair, but I didn't really ever know what was going on. I could follow it, but it's like, okay, it just seems random, but I liked it.
Mm-hmm. I watched this movie, put it on the list because I've seen it many times over the years and I love it. And every time I watch it, I see more. There's so many little things that interconnect and so many relationships too, because the Rosanna Arquette character was the girlfriend of the bar owner who lent him the keys to go to his place and found out she was dead. So all these things are interconnected and tied together. And then the other couple, Horst, what's that actor's name? Will Patton, who I hadn't seen before, but he plays this psychotic leather guy. I watched a documentary about the film on the disc and apparently Scorsese was down and out because he wanted to make Last Temptation of Christ and the funding got pulled. So he didn't know what to do. And someone came to him with a script and said, why don't we just make this film? There's nothing deep about it. And Scorsese said, all right, let's try this. And then, of course, he kept adding layers to it and having fun with it. And Griffin Dunne was fantastic. Mm-hmm. But they didn't know how to end the film. Like, they literally had no way to end the film. And someone just said, you know what? Because it ends at such a, like, the film was supposed to end with him plastered up and in the back of the van. And I mean, you watch, you're like, what, the poor guy, is he going to die in that? Is there just going to be someone's artwork in someone's loft somewhere? So they said, all right, let's just have it so that he falls out and he starts right back where he began. And so it forms almost a perfect circle. You know, he wanted to get home and he got home. Definitely a movie of its time because, you know, of course, we all have credit cards and debit cards and things like that. So you lose your $20, you probably just go and get another $20, find somewhere, especially in New York City where there are a million bank machines. But at the time, it's very, you know, he just wants to get laid and he gets thrown around. And then, you know, the Terry Garr character is bizarre and the Catherine O'Hara character is bizarre as well. And like overall, I love it. It's a great movie. And he ended up making Last Temptation anyway in the end. And it's probably a better film because he learned more between then and now. Between the time that he was going to make it and the time that he did make it by having these other films in between. So, anyway, Doug?
This was one of the handful of Scorsese movies I hadn't seen before. Mm-hmm. So when the list came out, this was the movie I was most looking forward to watching.
I knew that was coming.
And for it is such an outlier for Scorsese films. His films always feel very precise to me. This one just kind of was wild and was all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was, I read that it was a British director, Michael Powell, who was at the time dating Thelma Schoolmaker, and now they're married.
Mm-hmm.
He was the one who came up with the idea of having Griffin Dunne's character end up back at work.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was amazing. Like you said, it was just a complete circle. It was kind of Scorsese's Dante's Inferno in a way, just each level of hell getting more and more bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
Until he's eventually paper mache'd into a statue. And yeah, I mean, I loved it. It was Scorsese unhinged, and for me it worked. It was, the more I think about it, the more I'm liking the film.
About your hell thing, I thought it was so surreal at times. I was like, is this the afterlife? Is this like purgatory? But I was like, when would you have died?
In the cab ride over.
Yeah.
Flashback repeat.
Did you catch Scorsese's cameo in the film?
Nope.
Yes.
In the club.
Yeah.
Spotlight in the club.
Oh, when he goes to get his head shaved?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Is he the guy behind him?
No, he was on the catwalk, I guess, above them.
With shining a spotlight on them.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I guess we're gonna finally get to our last film.
Yes.
So
did go ahead.
Sorry, just brief about After Hours. I love the poster.
Oh, the poster's great.
I love it. Okay. Yeah. Now we can.
I want to say, Kevin, I felt that on his list, dragged me to hell.
Oh.
Hell came to Frogtown.
Hell comes to Frogtown. Starring Rowdy Piper, Sandow Bergman, Sis Farrell, William Smith, Rory Calhoun, Christy Summers, put Rory Calhoun twice, and Cliff Bemis.
Okay, I can start. I love this film. I think it's still just a fun, stupid film, but Rowdy Piper's in it. I'll watch it.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly what I wanted. It's got bad dialogue. It's got crazy machines in it. He's getting laid. There's boobs. There's action. That's all I have to say. It's a definite watchable guys movie. I mean, guys like movies, you should be watching Hell Comes to Frogtown. There's no plot. You don't need to pay any attention to it. Who cares? There's just a bunch of shoot-ups, got people dressed as frogs. You got to love it. That's all I have to say.
Well, if we come from After Hours, where Scorsese was trying to be lyrical with his storytelling, this movie is very literal in every sense of the word.
Yes.
Like, same as hell, and he goes to Frog Town.
Yes.
A town full of frogs.
Yep.
It's literal. If that's what you want, you get it.
I mean, I love They Live, which is Rowdy Roddy's other big sci-fi movie. So I was curious about this one, and I'd forgotten it even existed. I saw a trailer on some B-movie roll and thought, oh, we've got to put that on the podcast. I love the science fiction premise of that after the wars, radiation has killed off most of the sperm.
Yep.
So Rowdy Roddy Piper, he's got a high sperm count, so he's been contracted by the government to go and fertilize as many women in the wasteland as he can. And so he wears a special codpiece, I guess you'd call it, which has a bomb in it. So if he goes too far away from his handler, he'll explode. And so you can't make this stuff up. I mean, it's just too funny. I mean, and then Frogtown, they're literally frogs. The lead villains are you know, there's a guy in a, like, he looks like he's from frog from Cairo or something like that, that runs the bar. And then there are other evil frogs, and the dance of the three snakes. Well, they call it the three snakes because the lead frog has three members, I guess, right? So if Sandahl Bergman dances properly, she can activate the three snakes.
You have aroused me.
So it's not great sci-fi, but it was just goofy fun. Roddy Piper's having fun. Everyone on the cast is having fun with it. It's not a lot of depth to it. It's very literal, as you said.
No depth to it.
Yeah. There's no. And then, you know, the guy, the border guard who ends up being the villain of the piece, I mean, I'm like, why did they throw him in there at the beginning in the middle? I guess it was just to establish that someone had to be an evil human.
Yeah.
So I don't know. So overall, I'm not sorry I watched it, but I would never revisit this again. It's just one of those.
It's terrible.
Yeah. I didn't like the human villain, but you know, yeah, I wouldn't rewatch this. It's kind of like the same as In-Laws for me. Something I'll get the jokes once and then okay, bye.
Outcomes for Frogtown be like in a Viola Presents movie.
Yeah. But Rowdy Piper is so charming as like Saskatoon accent and like yeah. Oh, like you're the only one who could say it was like must have been all that fiber I had as a kid. That his sperm count is so high.
Yeah.
And honestly, I'm laughing more about this film more that we're talking about it. Because I feel like if you watch this with friends, I'd enjoy it more. But just on my own, it's like, okay, this is stupid, but it's not offensively bad, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like a porn premise. It's a weird sci-fi. It's like, is this Super Mario Bros. But a porno?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's funny. Stupid, okay. But funny.
Are we moving on to trivia? We got a few minutes left.
Like, Doug, did you see this one?
What?
Doug, did you see this one?
Yeah, I watched it.
Oh, I can't remember if you said anything. I blinked out. Sorry.
Yeah.
Ignore me.
It was fine.
He's got nothing to say. Is what he's trying
okay,
to
fair enough.
Awards, but it's fine.
Did anybody buy anything?
You got nope.
I did. I have a ton of stuff.
Okay, go ahead. Here comes. That's a big bag.
Billy Wilder. So I got a Witness for the Prosecution.
Excellent film.
Private Life of Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, yeah.
I have sitting on upstairs to watch.
Not Billy Wilder, but a very good nonetheless, Charade.
Me and Kevin both love it.
Love that movie.
Anatomy of a Murder, Otto Preminger.
Not sure if I've seen that one.
Back to Billy Wilder, I got The Apartment.
Classic.
Kevin loves it. So do I.
One of the most bizarre movies I've ever seen, but I kind of love it. Burt Lancaster in The Swimmer.
One of my favorite underrated films.
I haven't seen any of these.
The Great Escape.
Yeah, I've seen all but one. Not sure if I've seen Witness for Anatomy.
Alfred Hitchcock's only R-rated film, Frenzy.
Frenzy.
I think we did it on the show. Maybe we didn't. I have seen it.
I've seen all the Hitchcock movies.
Back to Billy Wilder with Sabrina.
I love that film.
And the last one, The Fortune Cookie. Also Billy Wilder and the first time Matthau and Lemon are together. On.
Long time ago. Isn't that the one where they tried to do the insurance scam?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. I saw it a long, long time ago. Okay. Playing to three as usual.
I bought Birds of Prey. It was on sale. And then for $5, I got Sleepy Hollow, even though I already had it on Blu-ray. And Secretary for $5.
You bought Secretary? I just watched that last week for the first time.
Oh, yeah? Well, then we can review it if we haven't done it.
No, we've never done Secretary. It's weird. Okay. I had it on my original draft list, and I took it off. Mm. I thought, I don't know if people are going to want to watch it. It's a little strange. Okay.
It is a strange movie.
We only got about 3 or 4 minutes, so.
Okay.
One tagline for this 1990 film, Red, they're not your average superheroes.
Not mystery men.
Mystery men, yeah.
That's correct. Who got that, Doug?
I did. No.
Dan's got one, okay.
I thought it was 99, though. Okay.
Ooh. Name the actor who appeared in all the following films. Bite the Bullet, In Like Flint, and The Great Escape. Come on, Kevin.
Coburn.
Correct. Name the two artists who each were nominated for Oscar for Best Original Song for their work in Philadelphia in 1993.
Springsteen.
I don't know the second.
Okay, Kevin,
who was the second?
Oh, second is Neil Young.
Okay, Kevin's
got two, Dan's got one, Doug's got zip. Okay, name the actor who's been romantically linked to Val Kilmer, Gene Simmons, and Sean Penn.
Madonna?
No.
Meg Ryan?
Nope. Yeah, Meg Ryan.
I don't know personal lives.
Name the actor who appeared in all the following films. Jaws 3D, Enemy Mine, and The Deep.
Gossett Jr.
Correct. Kevin wins. And if they make it?
Wait, I didn't say what I bought.
Oh, then go ahead.
What did you buy?
You got a bag of stuff.
Yeah, I got like 20 Blu-rays, 17 Blu-rays on Kijiji. I got like Chuck season 1 and 2, even though I already have it. I got Shawshank Redemption on Blu-ray, Gladiator, first 3 Resident Evils, Underworld, a bunch of Jason Statham ones, and those are the only ones that are worth.
No, you gotta discuss those two hockey movies you got.
Oh, Alex Kovalev training videos. Because, yeah. I mean, it was a bundle for $20, so I had to take everything. So I'm just gonna give those to my brother.
Yeah, give them to him. He'll use them as puck stops.
No, he'll actually watch him. He's a hockey player.
Good for him. And if they make it,
we'll watch
it. We'll watch it.
Okay. Au revoir.